As you would have heard on Friday, the news came through that the High Court has dismissed cases taken by two opposition TDs who had sought to quash the appointment of super junior ministers. Sinn Féin TD Pat Daly was one of those, and he, alongside People for Profit Paul Murphy, brought separate legal cases against the government to ask the High Court to declare that the attendance of four ministers for state at government meetings was unconstitutional. The TDs had argued that the constitution is clear in its description of government and places a limit on the number of ministers who can attend and vote at cabinet meetings. In response, the government argued the cases lack coherence and rely on obscure distinctions of what a super junior minister is considered to be. Ministers are appointed by the President of Ireland to sit at the country's government. Ministers for State, however, are appointed by the Taoiseach and can be nominated by the Cabinet. There are currently 15 senior ministers at Cabinet level. Ministers of State, often referred to as junior ministers, can be selected to attend weekly government meetings. This practice has been frequent, brought out for the last 25 years. Now, reading out the judgment, High Court President Mr Justice David Barnaville said he and his two colleagues had rejected the arguments made by Deputy Daly and Deputy Murphy in their entirety. He said that just 15 ministers from the present government were appointed by the President, despite the attendance of four junior ministers at the Oris in January. He said the suggestion by Murphy that super junior ministers were not subject to all scrutiny in the same way as senior ministers was justifiable. And it also said it was accepted by Murphy if there was a vote and a decision at Cabinet, super junior ministers would not take part, and so their attendance would not undermine the decisions taken by senior members of the government. Well, with me in our studio in Tralee to talk about this is Sinn Féin Deputy Pat Daly. Deputy Daly, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry. And just at the outset, may I extend also my sympathies to the family of Ger Lynch. And
indeed.
In 1981, I think that was the first elections really that I remember. It was an exciting time because there was three different elections within about 18 months, and he, unfortunately for him, he lost his seat that time. So I'd like to extend my sympathies to his family and also the Fine Gael party. And it's a tough time of year. There are a good few funerals on at the moment of Kerry people up and down the country, and it's a sad time. But he did lead a very long and full life, and I suppose they can be proud of his legacy. And I'd also like to wish Happy Christmas to all the staff here in Radio Kerry, and indeed to everybody who is living in Kerry, and of all of our immigrants who have gone abroad, and I'm particularly thinking of our people who are in England and beyond, all Kerry people. It's a tough time of the year to be away from home, but that I'd just like to wish to everybody a lovely Christmas.
Okay, indeed. Now, on to the court result on Friday. What's your response to it? I know your party leader, Mary Lou McDonald, said you'd be considering whether to appeal the case to the Supreme Court over the Christmas break.
Yeah, well, we have had, after the court on Friday, we did have preliminary discussions with our solicitor, and some of the things that were discussed were what you mentioned, Gerry, about the frequency and how this practice has developed over the last 25 years. I suppose one thing is that there aren't really any votes at Cabinet. It seems it's developed a lot with the various systems that they have and the briefing documents in advance that they try to achieve a consensus whenever possible, and have been quite successful in doing that. So the solicitor has prepared kind of preliminary notes for us. We'll be discussing that further. Obviously there are questions to be considered. Some of the interpretations that were given by the courts, we will be discussing. We haven't taken a decision on it yet. Is there a distinction between meetings of government and constitutionally valid meetings of government? What about the way they separated confidentiality from the composition of government? There's a lot to be considered there. It was 130 pages in the judgment, and while we will talk maybe this evening or tomorrow, I think the final decision won't be made until January as to whether we're going to appeal or not. The case was put back until mid-January, so we can we've time to consider that.
Is the principle of it the objection that you have to the number of junior ministers, even with the four super juniors, that you feel it's unnecessary?
I suppose, you know, it is something that I consider doing following the last election in 2020, and had sought out some legal advice on it from a barrister that I used, and who has done many cases for Kerry people, actually, when for assessment of needs cases where the assessment of needs hasn't taken place for children within 3 months. So I asked him. We decided not to do anything about it at that time, but I think it was a case that was always going to be taken. And you know, when you're in opposition, following you know the deal that was done with Michael Lowry's group, it's not just challenging the government in the council chambers and the Dáil and the Seanad at the HSE briefing meetings and at various different places, county council chambers. You know, if there's a possibility of challenging what is going on in government in the courts, well, then that's something that we have to consider also. You're not going to win them all. And if I only took challenges or took on cases on behalf of constituents where it was a guarantee of a win, well then, you know, you might not be too busy. So we felt that the constitution is quite clear about cabinet and government be 15 people. There are clearly more than that attending cabinet, and you could argue in fact that the door has been opened, that there doesn't seem to be any limits on it, so long as if there is a vote that there's only 15 partaking in the vote. So it's we saw what has gone on since, and I'm convinced even more now than I was, in the spring of this year, that it was the right thing to do. It was a case that was going to have to be taken, or was going to be taken, should I say, in any event, at some stage, on two grounds. One was the cabinet confidentiality side of things, and the other was the amount of people who were attending in cabinet. But, you know, we have not been successful at this stage, but, that doesn't mean that we weren't correct in taking the case. I believe that we were. And, there's a lot of issues around the place, and you know, I would much prefer. I'm dealing with a case at the moment where there's a woman with cancer who has been refused a medical card, and I believe that everyone who has such a life-limiting condition should have one. And we're battling. I'd prefer to win a case like that than be winning in the courts. But there are a lot of challenges out there. But as I said, you have to do as best you can. On a local level and in the Dáil, challenging the HSE, challenging council decisions, and in the courts, if you have to go that way, you know, I don't want to say we'll fight them on the beaches as well, Gerry, but if that's what it takes.
That's the point you're making. What about if the principle of this, will it follow through regardless of whether you appeal it or whether that's successful or not? If Sinn Féin get into power, will it be different? Will there be no super juniors?
I don't think that there will be.
Why not?
It's a case that the super junior ministers has developed, you correctly said, to be frequent. And the judgment itself refers to the government meetings or the cabinet meetings being unworkable if certain people weren't attending. But, you know, everybody knows that it's part of the deal that was done with the Lowry group, that Fianna Fáil get one super junior, Fine Gael get one, and Lowry's Noel Grealish and Sean Kenny, they got a position, you know, with extra benefits as super junior ministers. So that's what it's all about. It's about an extra, you know, terms and conditions, I suppose, if you want to put it that way. And even the Count Corla's position was part of the formation of government deals. And Verona Murphy has done quite a good job since, I have to say. But that's what it's all about, you see. And that had to be challenged at the time. And remember going back, it's a procedure that has followed through, that people wanted to be in government and they wanted to be outside of government to challenge him at the same time. And now a procedure has developed where at leaders' questions, the non-opposition members are standing up, and it was supposed to be to talk about the major issues of the day, whether it's scoliosis, whether it's cancer patients not getting medical cards, whether it's wastewater treatment systems around the country. But it is being used at the moment. That extra time that was given to in effect to government TDs. It's been used for local issues. It's been used to bring up. It's not being used.
Constituency matters, constituency, not legislative matters.
Exactly. That's what's happening with it. And we wanted to challenge the farce of people being in opposition. Some people, I think, still don't realise that they are actually in government and they are and they're not in opposition anymore. But we leave that to one side. But it's something that we challenge. We don't think it's right, and that's how we have set out our stall on it at the moment. We had to challenge that because there was a constitutional interpretation that suggested, both to myself and to Paul Murphy, that it was unconstitutional. The High Court gave a decision of the three of them. I don't know what disagreements or they had between themselves, because there was only one judgment given out by Mr. Justice Barnevill. So that is a decision that we have at the moment. And okay. So be
and
it.
You're making your decision as to whether it goes further or not. Let me ask you someone two separate issues. An interesting story for the weekend, and you mentioned the HSE there, talking about managing the HSE and looking for accountability for the health service and improving things. What did you make of the interview in the Sunday Independent with Bernard Gloucester, soon to be exiting as CEO after nearly 3 years? He criticised the current disciplinary procedures available, saying they're not sustainable, open to legal challenge and can go on for years. He says new laws are needed to speed up staff dismissals and hold public servants to account. What's your response to that?
Well,
that's something you'd welcome.
I have to say that I didn't read the Sunday Independent yesterday. Bernard Gloucester, you know, he's always forthright in his views. He, in fact, I have to pay tribute to him before he goes, because there was a case that we dealt with a couple of years ago of a man from Kerry who was injured abroad, and we thought there was no way we'd get the man home, but Bernard Gloucester stepped in and he was put on an air ambulance about 2 days later, and he successfully came home. But so he makes a strong argument. Obviously, people who are employed have certain rights, and sometimes, you know, larger employers, you know, like the HSE, the members obviously have a strong union behind them. I didn't see the full detail of it. Sometimes you know, you have to cut people loose.
There's 148,000 people in the HSE. Only 38 staff have been dismissed in the last 5 years, and of those 38, 17 of those dismissals were overturned on appeal due to an issue with the way the disciplinary process was conducted. So that's, in an organisation that size, those are incredibly small numbers. And we've heard it time and again from politicians, from councillors, even people in Sinn Féin, wanting real accountability when something goes wrong, not just to look for heads in the kind of way that can develop in some countries, but to look for real accountability, to put some sort of level of, well, this is negligent, you're not doing your job, there has to be some consequences, otherwise no lessons are ever learned and you repeat the same mistakes over and over again. He's saying the system needs to change.
Yeah, well,
would you agree?
Having been an employer myself, and having been lucky enough to have had excellent members of staff, you usually have a fair idea as to whether somebody is good at their job and will do a good job for you within a very short period of time. Within, you know, people have rights that they can stay in employment for the first 12 months or 6 months. You know, and they can be dismissed at that stage without any great difficulty.
Any cause, any reason.
So, you know, I agree with him probably that, you know, they need to keep an eye on that. First of all, you know, the attitude, the work rate, whether people are prepared to go beyond what they are tasked to do. You know, if you're not happy with the way they're performing, you need to keep an eye on them. I agree with you that there is probably a lack of accountability for certain decisions that are made when people are not using their own money, or if there's not proper checks and balances on that. And we all saw that with issues such as, you know, waste in the bike shed, and still we are using, for example, public-private partnerships, which is half the reason for the long delay in opening the community nursing unit in Killarney, because it's tied into other ones around the country rather than just going ahead and doing the jobs themselves. And you saw massive waste on the building of the Courts of Criminal Justice in Dublin, where there's a deal done which is going to cost the state 600 million on a site that was incredibly owned already by the state.
But the question is, where is the accountability for that? Does it all fall down on the minister, and or is there civil servants who aren't doing their job, or are negligent, or are, you know, making really big mistakes with critical amounts of public money, shall we say?
Well, the minister,
for that?
The minister sets the tone, and the minister needs to tell the department to shape up. And what I have seen,
Isn't that the point? Yeah. The minister can say that, can go in and do that, but unless there's any real concern, and I'm not painting all civil servants with this brush. There are very many hardworking ones that are working in the system that they want to probably have changed as well. But if there is no consequences for major errors and major mistakes, then you're kind of wasting your time as a minister, isn't it? There's no real fear there that if I don't do my job properly, there'd be consequences of my job, like there would be perhaps maybe in this private sector.
Yeah. Well, as I said, the minister, a minister has to have some sort of vision as to what they want to achieve. Because if they don't, they'll just rumble along and nothing will change. For example, if the minister wanted to make sure that everybody who has a life-limiting condition such as cancer should be entitled to a medical card, which I believe, well, then the minister needs to go ahead and do that.
Happen.
Similarly, if there is a huge, and obviously Bernard Gloucester would know more about the internal workings and he'd have an opinion than I would, but that has to be... that has to be checked against. You know, we don't want to be blaming employees. Certainly, in I've seen plenty of cases that came into my office when I was working as a solicitor of employees who were treated very unfairly, and it was usually the ones that were on their own. And if the HSE is a big enough behemoth or organisation, that they should have the powers and the facilities, the abilities and the resources to make sure that their employees are doing the job that they are entitled to do.
I have to say, Gerry,
that in dealing with, you know, the medical card unit here, where you're looking for appeals, you know, people who are working in the hospital in Kerry, they are doing enormous work under enormous pressure.
Yeah,
and providing
a
great
facility. I
totally
concede that there are people working within the system who are doing an incredible job in a system, perhaps maybe they don't agree with or feel it should be changed, and it can be slow to change.
I think the Sunday Independent, the Sunday Independent, you know, they're always, you know, they're not really going to be one that's sticking up for employees and their rights.
It was Bernard Gloucester who said it. Just a final point, and briefly on a separate issue, Deputy Daly, before we go. You've made a call in the last day or so for a public building to be constructed in Tralee Town Centre. Can you explain that one briefly?
Yes, well, we received, there's a building in Tralee which was developed by Lee Strand, and it is owned by an investment company, and most of the tenants in there are public sector units. The ETB and the court service are paying over €300,000 per year to rent that building from the investment company. I asked the HSE, by the way, how much they are paying per year, and they have refused to tell us at the moment because it's commercially sensitive. I find that out in the next week or so. But you can take it that there's about €500,000 a year being paid there, and that's just those three tenants. There are other tenants up there as well. So it came up in discussions, and there is a vacant site. You know, I get killed for this now, but there is a vacant site down in the Denny site, which is earmarked for a public building, and
the new Tralee Court building.
There's another one. There's another site on the Gas Terrace end of it, and you know I know the discussions, we were supposed to have a meeting with Kerry County Council. I understand that it is being considered, or capital projects, Kerry County Council are more open to capital projects, and they should talk to the ETB. They should talk to the court services, and because those leases will be coming up soon. And rather than spending all that money, it's an opportunity, I think, for Kerry County Council, one, to bring the 140 jobs that are up there right into the town centre, where they will be, you know, people will work and spend. And, you know, while we had great news for Tralee Town Centre with the Orbitus develop, jobs announcement, and Radio Kerry were down at that, and there's, I think it's about 80 jobs down there, which is great. You know, it's not enough to have people living in the town centre, and the whole trajectory has been to close pubs and hairdressers and butcher shops and put them into, you know, investors are coming in, buying them up, and putting accommodation in there. That'll only bring one or two people into the town centre every day. You need jobs in there to keep a town centre vibrant, to keep the shops open and the cafes open. Yeah. And I think it should be considered. I'm not saying that that's the end, but it, you know, nothing has happened there really for the last 11 years since it was given over by the Kerry. And jobs for the town centre, I think, is what the town centre needs.
Okay, Deputy Pat Daly, thanks very much for talking to us this morning, and happy Christmas to you. That's Deputy Pat Daly with his views on those matters. If you've a view on what he said, get in touch. We've more on the way.